Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. It's another week of the Hoosier Report. I'm Matt Dennison. Thanks for being with us. We do this weekdays at 11 a.m. You can often catch the replay at 3 p.m. right here on the Big X. And, of course, podcast at SoundCloud. If you've got that, or it's a free log on SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Or you can search the Hoosier Report on Apple Podcast. And there's never an excuse with the podcast of why you shouldn't be able to catch up with all of our great guests and information each and every day here on the program. AAU travel shoe circuit season back in full force this weekend. Indiana coaches, I think, were out and about at least three different locations. Main location where Archie Miller spent a lot of his time in Dallas over the weekend. Archie was also the guest speaker, the primetime guest speaker of the IBCA Coaches Clinic, which wrapped up Saturday afternoon. He was there Friday late night, so got to do a little recruiting before he made his coaching talk to all of the state's high school coaches. It was held at Lawrence North High School. We're 1 week away from Romeo Langford's decision. We're going to have all kinds of special coverage around the Romeo decision that we'll be telling you about later this week. It will all start Monday with this show starting at 10 a.m. here, a special two-hour show coming up on Monday, April 30th. And that's just the beginning. We'll have more updates for you later in the week. But we're a week away from officially getting the announcement from Romeo Langford himself at New Albany High School as far as where he will go for college. Indiana, Vanderbilt, Kansas, that's the thought out there. That's the final three we know. The thought, obviously, from IU fans is that he's making the announcement at home in front of a lot of New Albany and Indiana fans and people that would prefer to see him play as local as possible so they can follow his career at the college level for however long it lasts with as much madness as what they followed his high school career. So we'll see. Indiana fans pretty confident that I run into. It used to be, hey, where's Romeo going? Hey, do you know where Romeo's going? Now it's, I think Romeo's going to Indiana, don't you? I think Indiana's going to Romeo. He wouldn't announce at home at New Albany if he wasn't going to Indiana. Don't you agree with that? So that's kind of taken over the landscape for Romeo as far as Indiana fans are concerned. And I tell you what, the national predictors, the guys that follow the recruiting, and again, it's more of a, I call it clickbait, to get you to visit their site and see what they're saying. They all have switched Romeo to Indiana. Some of them have. They give a percentage for each school. Some of them have Indiana winning the race for Romeo by a great percentage. But, you know, do they really know? Has the Langford family said anything to anybody other than just that the announcement's going to be at New Albany that's got IU fans so confident? Yes, it makes a lot of sense on paper that this thing could end for IU and IU fans on a great note, at least his high school years. If he does announce for Indiana at the gym, it could be full. We know that the media is going to be there in a storm on next Monday the 30th, but nothing has been said to confirm everyone's feelings that Indiana maybe is the leader at this late point to land Langford, and the announcement will become a big celebration that he's going to stay in the Hoosier State and play college basketball. I think it's a lot of assumptions, and I think that we need to wait until the announcement happens, but it does look favorable when you look at it from some of the outside things that we would look at for any announcement, no matter if it was someone in New Albany or other players that have announced in-state. But again, as others have told us, just because it's announced in Indiana, just because it's announced at their home high school doesn't always mean it's going to be for the most local school. But we'll see. Indiana fans feeling pretty good. This thing's going to be one of the biggest deals and days on our station and in sports in Southern Indiana. I can tell you that we're going to have a ton of listeners from local and beyond. I've already heard from some of you wanting to know that, you know, out of the area or can't make it that night or got a little league game or different scenarios. We know that it's going to be a crazy deal. So I would encourage you, most of you probably have seen Romeo play. I would have to believe that with TV and the IHSA network and the games on TV and the postseason and how many season ticket holders and folks got a chance to see him one or two times maybe at away games. But even if you haven't seen him, it's going to be a spectacle like none other. And there would be nothing more cool, whether he's for announces for IU or for any of the other two schools, I think, than to have pictures and memories and to see that sort of decision be announced in front of a full house at New Albany High School. And again, there's going to be plenty of media there to break it all down and give you the live coverage of it. There's no question about that. But I think it's one of those things that will be a historic night in April 30th, in the middle of the spring or at the start of the spring, however you want to say it. We're going to all gather in a gym in Southern Indiana for the announcement of perhaps the best player to ever come through Southern Indiana and listen to his college decision, because we all care about him and the sport and high school basketball and college basketball that much, which is one thing why this show exists, because we're crazy about some of this stuff. So it will be a fun time on Monday, April 30th. Again, we'll be announcing special coverage throughout the week of that day, both before and after. But I can tell you that next Monday we'll have a two-hour special show. I will hit the airwaves at 10 a.m. and be with you until noon, and then we'll be back later in the evening for some stuff that we will announce as the week goes on. In fact, it'll be a late evening for us here on the Big X with our broadcast plans, both from New Albany and from some other activities that may take place after the announcement. So stay with us for that. Let's take a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this Monday program, it's a loaded show. We're going to cover a ton of ground. In segment two, we'll have joining us today Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some IU basketball, talk about where Archie Miller was at over the weekend, who some of the players are he got to see. The staff was very active, as I said. Archie starting off the period in Dallas. IU coaches also in Indianapolis, and I think there were some at a third location as well, taking in a lot of prospects, letting them know some of these 2019 guys that Indiana wants to be front and center on their recruiting as it hits the home stretch later this summer into the start of their high school season. So Zach will join us on all of those topics and more. Then later in segment number three today, we'll have Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member. He will join us to cover a lot of ground. Chad was at the IBCA Coaches Clinic. There's always a lot of buzz coming out of that clinic because, in addition to being a lot of fun for coaches to learn and kind of hone their trait, their skills, and hear from different speakers, from Archie Miller at the top of that food chain all the way down to other high school coaches and beyond to pick their brains on things, it's also a big networking opportunity. A lot of guys use that as a chance to network for jobs, to you know, rumors come out of that. And so we'll talk some with Chad about the clinic and other things that happened this weekend as well. Then we're going to wrap up the show today. We'll have a third guest in the program. Scott Agnes will join me. He covers the Pacers like no other. And I've been finding myself with no college and no high school getting more and more into the NBA playoffs when I can find the time to sit down and watch some of the big matchups. None of the series, obviously, from a local perspective, has been more interesting than the Pacers. And they've got themselves in a pretty good situation, I think, 2-2. The series tied as they head back to Cleveland. I really think Pacers are the better team. I think LeBron, obviously, is the best player by far and away. But team-wise, I really feel like the Pacers are the better team after watching three of the four games in the series so far. However, the Pacers had an opportunity after making a great comeback last night to really take an advantage over the Cavaliers and let them back in it and let them win it there at the end of the game. So it's really, I think, a 50-50 series. We'll go to Cleveland for a game later this week. That's a game that'll be right here on the Big X. And then they'll come back to Bankers Life for Game 6. And then from there, it will be played by ear as far as is Game 7 necessary. But I think this one may come down to Game 7. I really think it may. Two pretty even teams. Again, I do think the Pacers are better, but when you've got a player like LeBron, he's going to keep you always in the hunt no matter what series, whether the Cavs win this and go all the way to two or three more series, they will always have a chance because of LeBron being on the floor and being such a dominant player that he is. So we'll talk some Pacers with Scott Agnes. Scott is an old guest of the Hoosier Report back when we first started this thing, and we're talking Pacers with him once a week. He'll be back to talk playoff basketball with us a little bit later today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Of course, a lot of things that we'll talk about in the headlines all come out of the travel, the AAU, the shoe circuit weekend, where coaches could be on the road. And I want to start with a real positive note. You know, I've talked some about what the shoe circuits consist of. You guys have told me both in person and on Twitter and other ways that you enjoy getting those updates. You enjoy learning more about it because the talent is so very good at these shoe circuit events like the Nike EYBL that was played in Dallas over the weekend. Of course, Adidas was spread out this weekend, but they did have their Midwestern teams up in Indianapolis at that area, at Warren Central and some other schools. But I'll tell you what, I really haven't told you about some of the – I've told you about the players, obviously, that Indiana is focusing in 2019, the current juniors. We talk about that really this time of year on a daily basis, but I haven't really told you who some of them are playing for. So here's an interesting fact. Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove, who IU sure appears to be in pretty good shape with, as good a shape you can be at this point of their junior season after high school season ends, and Keon Brooks up at Fort Wayne North, who, again, Archie's been on since he got here to Bloomington. Both of those guys got offers right out of the gate. Those guys are playing together on the Indy Heat team, which is Indiana's bid, basically, to the Nike EYBL. Keep in mind, that team will be in Indianapolis this coming weekend, I think Friday night late, Saturday and Sunday, for league games that keep track and standings would help you advance to the Peach Jam, which is like the championship in that circuit, later this summer. But those guys, there were some quotes. Jeff Rabjohn's got a chance to catch up with both of those guys where they're really building a good friendship and they're really enjoying playing together and seeing one or the other, or sometimes both, have some big games here early in this shoe circuit ball season. And that's interesting to hear because you start to think what could happen on April 30th and could those guys collectively decide, hey, we're playing shoe ball together, AAU ball together, we're talking about building a relationship to the media, we're talking about being cheerful when the other guy has the big scoring game and maybe one is not the scorer for that game. You got to wonder if that type of discussion could translate in to wanting to stay in state and play together at Indiana. And could the momentum that Indiana could pick up on the 30th with a Langford commitment, a Romeo commitment, could that help spurn some interest, or I shouldn't say spurn, but spark some interest in some of those guys going ahead and making a commitment to Indiana later this summer or perhaps before their senior year as well. But not only are those guys playing together for the Spieth Indy Heat team, they played some really good teams this weekend, which is the case every game out in shoe circuit. You're going to play good teams, highly ranked players. If you have any chance at all to make it up to Westfield this weekend for the Nike EYBL, I think admission is $10 or $15 for the day, and it's well worth it. You'll see a ton of guys that we talk about on this program. But Davis and Brooks beat a team from Florida, Team Florida, with the number 2 and number 7 rated 2019 players. Vernon Carey is 2nd rated. Scott Barnes is 7th rated. And I tell you what, they played together, played very well, and handled Team Florida 83-68 in an early season Nike EYBL game over the weekend. So that's interesting that they're playing together, they're being successful, they're beating other highly ranked guys, guys that are ranked above them in the national ratings, and who knows what that relationship as it forms over the spring and summer, where that could end before the high school basketball season begins later in the winter. IU baseball this weekend, not a great weekend for the Hoosiers. They went 1-2. They lose the series at Ohio State. They got off on a good note Friday, 4-0 the record, or excuse me, 4-0 victory Friday over Ohio State. Lost on Saturday, a narrow 5-4 loss. Loss on a walk-off situation Sunday 6-5. So both games they lost, very close defeats for IU baseball. They will now travel later this week in a couple days on Wednesday to West Lafayette to meet Purdue in a one-game series in the middle of the week before they host Illinois for a weekend series coming up this coming weekend. Couple other quick notes. New Albany baseball wins 2 over the weekend, still undefeated. Silver Creek baseball undefeated as well. They defeated a couple teams from out of state this weekend. And I tell you what, I saw the latest coaches pull out. New Albany, early in the year now, they're 11-0. They've jumped to number 1 in 4A undefeated. There's a handful of other undefeated teams left in 4A baseball, but New Albany now number 1. They've got a big week coming up because they will host Tuesday. It's an early game, a 5 o'clock first pitch. They will host Pleasure Ridge Park, who is number 1 in the state of Kentucky on Tuesday. So that will be a big matchup for the Bulldogs here as we get early to the mid part of the season to see exactly where they do stand. But a lot of good pitching, a lot of hitting. They were able to get past Jeffersonville last week to stay undefeated. They got a couple wins over Evansville teams over the weekend. But the Bulldogs on the baseball side, number 1 in 4A baseball at this point of the season. So that will be interesting to follow the rest of the way. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh, made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest every Monday in this segment. We talk a lot of IU basketball, some other sports as well. And Zach, I tell you, I was going through some of the news and notes from around the country as far as the first weekend that college coaches could be out. First of two, they could be out this spring talking about where IU coaches were, how some of the players played, that Indiana has stepped up and made big targets in 2019 recruiting. And it's always interesting that first weekend to see who's going to go where, who's going to get the focus right out of the gate, appearing at that first game on Friday or early Saturday morning. And it looks like many of the Big Ten and other high major schools, Indiana took advantage of this weekend evaluation period just about as much as they could, seeing a ton of different guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually interesting because I believe Archie Miller actually started the weekend speaking at the coaches' convention up in Indianapolis. I don't think he did like media or anything, but then he obviously hit the road. There were some names that weren't surprising. I think like DJ Carton, the point guard from Iowa, who they just offered, but they visited a couple of times. Trenton Watford, I believe, and that's a name that, you know, IU fans won't need much introduction. I can remember when Trenton Watford was just a spectator at IU games watching his brother Christian play at IU, and all of a sudden he's like a top 10, top 15 forward in 2019, who's actually kind of his interest with IU has only seemed to intensify kind of over the last year plus. I can remember him taking a visit last summer, and now I think it's two or three times now, maybe this spring, Archie or someone on staff has gone to see him. So, again, not too many surprises. And I even saw, I think there was one tweet maybe from Mike Pegram out that Archie was watching Trenton Watford and Tom Crean was there too. So
yeah, I saw that.
All of a sudden, everything is the universe is shifting back into place after a year off.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us Mondays to talk IU basketball. You know, I didn't put two and two together, and I said this in the first segment to listeners. I get so many tweets and questions about, hey, how does this shoe stuff work, and can we go when it's in Indianapolis next weekend, and who, you know, what team should I be looking for on the app or on the website to follow and see how they're doing, and I didn't put two and two together, although I knew this, that Keon Brooks and Trace Jackson Davis play together on that Indy Heat team out of the Indianapolis/Fort Wayne area that participates in the EYBL. That's a loaded team, number one, across the board. Number two, those guys, you know, playing together, building a relationship together, you've got to be curious because they're two huge targets in state for Indiana in 2019. And to be quite honest with you, if I was betting, I'm going to bet Indiana gets at least one of those guys with the work that Archie Miller has put in to both players since he arrived in Bloomington, having plenty of time to recruit the 2019 class. Unlike 2018, he really had to scramble to pull things together. But with that being said, it's very interesting when two targets like that, both from the state, both from an hour and a half or so up the road from each other, playing together all spring and summer. I mean, Zach, they're not just riding to Indianapolis to the other side for a tournament. They're going to Dallas, and they're going to be playing across the country at different events, weekend in, weekend out. And it will be really interesting once this season comes to a close later in the summer and they're really on the block as far as their recruiting goes and their decisions go. It's going to be interesting to see if that relationship forged and their discussion about enjoying playing together turns into a package deal, perhaps right at Bloomington.
Yeah, I mean, when people ask about that stuff, I always say, you know, don't read too much into it. Don't just assume that because one guy's making this decision that the other guy's gonna, because, you know, if anything, when you talk to these players about their teammates and their friends, they always say, well, he's got to, you know, I'd love to play with him, but he's also got to do the right thing for him and his career. But I also tell people it can't hurt. I mean, it really can't hurt. You know, from a recruiting perspective, hey, it makes it easier, you know, if you're IU and you want to get a good long look at a Keon Brooks or Trace Jackson Davis, or just to have them know that you're watching them, you can basically sort of watch two players with one game. So that always helps. But it also can help sometimes, yeah, if they are having those conversations where they're saying, you know, well, what do you see in IU? What do you think about this? What are you hearing from the coaching staff, whatever? And, you know, if guys feel like they can kind of encourage one another, I guess, then it can be something that sort of builds on itself. I just, you know, it's you always kind of want to be careful not to read too much into it. But then, hey, you know, we've talked so much about Romeo Langford. If he picks Vanderbilt, you would imagine next week, you would imagine that Darius Garland would probably be a significant part of the reason why. So it certainly can't ever hurt, you know, that a lot of these sort of self-professed package deals don't wind up coming off the way that maybe they're portrayed at some point. But there's nothing bad about, you know, IU pursuing two kids on the same team, and then maybe they can kind of meld minds a little bit and maybe they find mutual interest.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. And I'm with you on the package deal. I mean, we heard that multiple times about Vanderbilt, of course, with Darius Garland, both those two, to him and Romeo to Indiana, and then, of course, to Vanderbilt after Garland committed to Vanderbilt. Also, even later at the McDonald's game, you heard the Kansas players stepping up and saying that they thought Romeo was coming there. They wanted to play together. They had talked about winning a national championship together. So I think it's pretty common. I guess my interest in the Brooks and Jackson Davis situation is, you know, they're so close to each other, and they are both such huge prospects in state very early in Archie Miller's career. Of course, Romeo would be the biggest, but there would be no question, I think, for 2019, those guys have been guys that Indiana has marked early and often. So that will be interesting to watch, and I can't wait to watch them play Saturday in Indianapolis. I'm just glad they're going to be close to home where we can catch up with both of those guys.
Well, and it's also, you heard Archie Miller in his introductory press conference, you know, his phrase on recruiting was going inside out. And that's, you know, that's a very easy thing to say in theory. And it's what you should say in that press conference. You know, if you're going to take the Indiana job, you shouldn't get up at a podium and say, I don't want in-state kids, or, you know, I don't think there's any difference between in-state kids. You know, you've got to know your fan base and know that they're always going to take a deep level of pride in kids from the area. But I do think there's, you know, something to the idea of, if you look at, let's just play fantasy basketball for a moment and say Indiana does land Romeo Langford, and maybe at least, as you said, one of those two kids, Jackson Davis or Brooks. Well, that's at least four in-state players in Archie Miller's first two full recruiting cycles. Plus, you look at the recruitment of Jerome Hunter. Well, he's just from down the road in Ohio. Jake Forrester's a little bit further away. He's in Pennsylvania. But it's still, you still kind of get this sense that Indiana is, early on anyway, in Archie Miller's tenure, is really resonating in what you'd consider kind of its natural geographic footprint, which is the state, but then also kind of the region around Indiana, the Midwest, basically. And I think that's good, because I think that that's, you know, I heard a college coach recently in another sport tell me that, you know, in his experience, sometimes it's the way that you treat the first kid is going to determine whether or not you get the next kid, because that high school coach will learn he can trust you. And then the next kid, it's much easier because you've got that built-in reputation and you've got that trust level and people who will vouch for you. And it seems like Indiana's kind of building that first layer. And if they can keep, you know, kind of making sure the experience is good and players are getting better and they're being well treated and their careers are being well served during their time at IU, then that's just something that just, again, sort of naturally builds on itself down the line. And I think it's encouraging for Indiana, or it should be encouraging for Indiana fans, that there has been a really strong sort of connection very quickly between this staff and the state, certainly, but also maybe just kind of around the Midwest.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. Zach, before we let you go, can IU fans make it another week? We're 1 week out from Romeo's decision. Can we make it another week, Zach?
Is it okay? So I was talking to another recruiting writer last week who told me that for some reason they were convinced, they're not convinced, but they kept mentally having to correct themselves because they kept thinking that today was the day, and for whatever reason that they kept thinking today was commitment day, even though they would think that, and then they would say, no, it's in a week. I've done the exact same thing. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just because, you know, Monday feels like a beginning, but obviously this is an end, so I just think it's going to be naturally closer. I don't know why, but, like, mentally I've not been able to break myself of the idea that, like, this is supposed to be commitment day. Maybe I'm just going crazy at this point.
If you ever need reassurance it is or isn't, just open your social media for 5 seconds and you'll be able to figure out if it is or isn't. So I've never seen anything like it. But, hey, Zach, thank you.
I think I'm just losing my mind at this point, let's be honest.
I'm not getting it. I'm right there with you. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays here on the Hoosier Report, a great addition to the program a couple months ago. Zach, very appreciative always of your time here with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Chad Gilbert. He was at the IBCA clinic over the weekend. So was Archie Miller in the middle of his recruiting period. So we'll talk with him about what Coach Miller had to say, how it was received, and more coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we are back here on this Monday program, April 23rd, and joined by Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA Executive Board member, who takes time out to talk local sports with us every Monday here on the program. And Chad, a lot of talk about the coaches at the D1 level, where they were at over the weekend. It was the first of two spring weekends of evaluation where they can get out and watch the kids play and the SHU circuits and other sanctioned and certified travel tournaments. While that was going on, a lot of high school coaches from the state, a great majority of them, in fact, were gathered at Lawrence North High School to network and hone their craft for the next season at the annual Indiana Basketball Coaches Association Clinic convention. I know it's always fun because, in addition to talking some shop on the floor, the X's and O's, there's a lot of networking about jobs and other things that goes on. And this year, the key speaker for the clinic on Friday night was Archie Miller of Indianapolis. So he was taking time out of his recruiting opportunity to be on the road to speak with the high school coaches in the state of Indiana. I think that says to everybody that recruiting the state, very important, very much a priority for Miller and his staff.
Oh, yes, no question, Matt. This weekend in Indianapolis was absolutely rocking for basketball. At Warren Central, like you said, in the gauntlet, I saw a picture, a tweet online. There was Calipari in the picture. There was Roy Williams in the picture. There was Matt Painter in the picture. There was Missouri coach in the picture. There was Chris Mack in the picture. So, everybody was out there looking for players, and what they do on that on the circuit, as it's you've got who you're looking at, and they're wanting to see – they're wanting to be seen there so that prospect knows that they're there watching them. And those guys are out doing that, and they're doing their due diligence, and college basketball coaches work. That's what people think. It's just wearing sweatsuits and wearing suits on the game nights. They work, man. They put in the hours, they put in the time, and they go out and hustle. So Indianapolis was hopping this weekend. But as far as the clinic goes, it was a great clinic. There were lots of coaches up there, lots of great speakers, lots of good stuff to learn. And like you said, with Coach Miller from IU being up there, I think he's doing a great job, just getting in with, per se, the grassroots of Indiana basketball and trying to keep the great players in the state at home at Indiana University. And that's something that's really missed. Indiana basketball is a lot – IU basketball is a lot more exciting when it's Indiana players there. You feel like you know them. You feel like they belong there. You feel like you have a relationship. So it's a whole lot more interesting to watch. It's a whole lot more fun to watch.
I think I know the answer to this question. You probably – or you just kind of alluded to some of it in your answer. But how was Coach Miller's discussion with the coaches – received, and generally as a former coach like you that coached at a 4A program where coaches at schools in the state and out of the state are going to want to keep track of Jeffersonville basketball, of New Albany basketball, of course of a lot of the programs in Indianapolis and other parts of the state as well, but how do you think overall in his time here he is being received by the coaches when you meet at a convention or at a clinic like this weekend and have not only time to learn about the game but downtime to maybe drink a beer or maybe meet and have lunch and talk about some things off the court as well, how college teams are doing, where kids are getting recruited by. How do you think he's being, at this point of his career, very early in his career, being received by the local high school coaches?
I think there's a lot of excitement about Coach Miller. I think he's very knowledgeable of the game. I think he makes you feel important, and that's one thing that all coaches want to feel is important, because coaching's a tough profession. You get beat up throughout the year. You lose some games. You feel like the refs beat you up, the opposing fans beat you up, your parents beat you up, your principal beat you up. You've got getting it from all sides. And then when you get a big-time college coach say, hey, man, you're doing a great job, I think that really helps, and I think that makes you feel important. So I think there's a lot of excitement in that. I think he does a good job of that. The best of it right now is Matt Painter. Matt Painter, he's got a steel trap memory. He can pick up anybody's name. I ran across him one time. He said, you remember we played in the Muncie Macker? This was in 1993. And, he brings that stuff up. And I think that's real important with relationships, and I think that's something that Coach Miller is developing with coaches throughout the state. And that's a good move on his part, because there's players in Indiana. People can say whatever they want, but Indiana is a hotbed for basketball players.
Absolutely. Talking with Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member. Chad, let's go through the roll call here locally. Who was there coaches-wise? I know Todd Sturgeon got an opportunity to speak. He had a pretty interesting topic that he spoke to coaches on, and saw a lot of Southern Indiana faces there in my short stop on Friday.
Oh, yeah, it was a great clinic to see. Coach Sturgeon, a lot of people don't know Coach Sturgeon's background. He's a Brownstown boy. He played at Brownstown, hooked up with Royce Waltman, coached in college where he played at. He was at the University of Indianapolis as an assistant coach when I was a player at USI. So Coach Sturgeon and I go back a long, long time, and he's about as good as there is coaching-wise. He makes teams tough to go against. He gets the most out of his team. He puts them in a position to be successful. If you do those things as a coach, you've got a chance to be pretty good. Everybody else, there are a lot of girls coaches there that I was good to hook back up with after not seeing those guys. I've been out of the girls game for 2011, 7 years, so it was good to catch up with those guys. And a ton of Southern Indiana boys coaches and Indianapolis coaches as well that we've known throughout the years, whether we've coached in all-star games, whether we've run across each other through the circuit, that it was good to catch up with all those guys. And the thing about the coaches, they're all there trying to learn and all there trying to get better. And that's something that if you're asking your players to do that, I think it's important that the coaches are out doing the same thing. And when you see those guys out there, they love the game. They love to make kids get better. And lifelong learners. That's what coaching's all about, is being a lifelong learner.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, former Jeffersonville girls and boys coach and IHSA executive board member with us. 1 week away from the Romeo decision, you and I have talked a lot about Romeo on this program, and I know that you have been very intrigued by his career, and although you've got a lot of responsibilities at Charlestown, you tried to see him play whenever you could just to take in some of his performances as a guy like you and me that love not only our schools and communities, but Southern Indiana as a whole. 1 week away, you got a prediction for people? I mean, you've followed it. You've met him. You've tracked it. Any thoughts?
You know, a week from today is a big day. You know, just to shift gears just a touch, the IHSA's got 19 different proposals coming to vote next Monday as well. You know, we may have to take a break in session just to see where Romeo signs.
Chad, I fully expect you to pull your iPhone out, log on to BigXSportsRadio.com, pull up our coverage live, and Commissioner Cox and Board Member Gilbert, you can listen to it all unfold.
No question. There's that much excitement to take that. But, you know, to answer your question on it, Matt, there's going to be a lot of people that are really excited no matter where he goes. There's going to be some people disappointed. But the one thing, the one person who has to be happy is Romeo Langford. And I think, you know, he knows that. His family knows that. And, they're going to put Romeo in the best position possible to be successful. And, you know, if I was going to bet, I'm not a betting man, but if I was going to bet, I think you're going to see Romeo in the red and white next year, the cream and crimson, and IU. And I think that's great for the state. I think you'll get more players because of that. And I think it's something that will be very intriguing and a whole lot of fun to watch.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member. Chad, you've got some very important proposals, and we'll talk more about those next week, because when we talk again, you will be heading into that meeting later in the day, and of course we will be heading to the Romeo announcement later that day, so next Monday will be a lot of fun. Don't forget, an extended show next Monday will be on at 10 a.m. and close at noon, as we typically do. Chad, it was great to catch up with you this weekend, some other coaching friends, as you said, a lot of Southern Indiana guys there. And look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Matt, it was great to catch up with you. You know, a lot of things going to shake up here in the next couple of weeks with coaching. You know, there's going to be a lot of different movement going on, a lot of excitement. You know, and I appreciate you buying my dinner up there, Matt. It was always good to hang out with you and Hall of Famer Chris May. Anytime you get you guys together, a lot of knowledge at the table and a whole lot of fun.
Hey, for 10, 15, 20 minutes of Chad Gilbert every Monday, a dinner once a year at the Coach's Clinic is the least I can do for you. I appreciate it.
Well, the bad thing is, if I'd have known you were buying, I'd have got something to go.
Well, I that's why I made sure it wasn't at a high-end steak restaurant. I know how you operate. So,
well, it's good. Hey, man, I appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana. It's great to always catch up.
Okay, Chad, thank you very much. We'll head out to a commercial break. We've got one more guest in this show. So much excitement around the Pacers. It's the only basketball to follow right now, outside of the recruiting and, of course, the Romeo storyline. That, you know, I'm not an NBA guy. I say that pretty regularly on the program. Greg Doyle is really the only voice on the show we have talking a little Pacers here and there. Victor Oladipo has made it more interesting, I think, for fans down here in Southern Indiana to follow the Pacers. He's had a great year, and he's just a great dude in general, which makes it easy to cheer for him and the Pacers. I'll tell you what, the Pacers a couple years ago, just not a team that you could really – get excited about their key personnel. But I feel different about this team, and I find myself more and more attracted to watching their games and wanting to make sure that if I can't watch the game, I'm in a position to be able to get updates and that sort of thing. So it's been fun to follow, and I'm very hopeful they can win this series against the Cavs. And there's one person to talk to about Pacers basketball that does an unbelievable job. Scott Agnes of the Vigilant Sports is going to join us next, and he was at the game. He's at every Pacers game up close and personal, and he's going to join us to talk about an important Game 5 coming up, and he'll recap last night's game as well. That's next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment today is with Scott Agnes, who covers the Pacers in a very great way. Very, very great site, VigilantSports.com, at Scott Agnes on Twitter. We've had Scott with us before. And I tell you what, with Victor Oladipo bringing some breath of fresh air to the Pacers, and with a very competitive team this year, battling the Cavs 2-2 tie as they head to Cleveland later this week for Game 5, it's hard not to talk more Pacers on the program, even though the NBA isn't something we typically chat about a lot. But, Scott, first off, great job on your coverage all season. I definitely have paid attention. And this Cavaliers-Pacers series is shaping up to be a really good one that I think may go to the final game.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, man. Good to talk with you again. You're absolutely right, I thought. Victor, what he's really done for this entire franchise is given them new life again. I mean, for those that may not be aware, this team basically started – nearly over three new starters, only six players back from last year's team. So what they've done this season is nothing short than special, considering all the new parts, how many young guys are leading this group. And last night, even though they didn't get it done, they had contributions with seven guys in double figures.
Scott Agnes joining us on the program. I said this earlier in the show talking about last night's game, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say about it. In watching, I think I've seen three of the four games live on television. I really feel like across the board as a team, Indiana is the better team. The Cavs have obviously the best player in LeBron James, but it didn't seem like, as good as the Pacers have played at a number of points in this series so far, it just seemed like last night for most of the game, they just were a little disconnected. They weren't the same team we had seen in the first three games.
Yeah, and that was the word Nate McMillan used post-game. I thought it was interesting. He hasn't really laid on his team necessarily much all season. I can think about two or three instances. And the other couple games where they just really didn't show up or play well. Maybe it was the second night of a back-to-back. But he gave some harsh reality words. And I think it was necessary for his team last night. The three things that he preaches oftentimes is the three C's for him. It's calm, cool, collect, and connected. And he said they really weren't that last night. And I thought you felt that. It's not as if neither team really shot it well. They both hit 12 threes. The reboundings were dead even. I think where they lost this game was the execution down the stretch, where they, I think, made one field goal and were outscored over the final 5 minutes. That was the difference.
Scott Agnes joining us. And again, if you're a big fan of the Pacers or you're getting more connected with the Pacers because of this series and Victor Oladipo, he is the guy to follow for great coverage at Scott Agnes on Twitter and VigilantSports.com. Tons of great stuff before and after each Pacers game, and have really enjoyed it during the playoffs. Scott, as the Indiana team heads on the road to Cleveland for an important Game 5, you know, LeBron getting some rest. I know the 2 days of rest, I think, and I saw you tweet this out, and I agreed with it completely, really benefits an older LeBron when he's got two games away. But coming up here, another game this week in Cleveland, going to return to Bankers Life later in the week for Game 6. You know, what do you see? What does Indiana need to do, need to correct to make sure they can maybe steal one on the road and put themselves in a position to close out this series at home?
Well, it's going to has to start with the Pacers' start to games, and it's been an ongoing theme all season, but they just have gotten off to these poor starts, and not just where they trail early in games, but they'll fall behind by double digits. It's been crazy in this entire series, Matt. Halftime deficit has been by double digits. Each of the last three games, It's been the Pacers in the hole. So I think it's important for them to not dig themselves such a big hole that come the second half, not only are they trying to take the lead and win the game, but they first have to dig their way out of that hole that they put themselves in. I agree. I think the Pacers are the better team overall. They have more depth. It's just that Cleveland has the best player in the world. And the 2 days off, of course, it's great for everyone. But nothing better than LeBron. He led the league in minutes played this season for the first time in his 15-year career. He played all 82 games, and he's having to do more than ever for his team. 46 minutes. The next guy on his team played 11 fewer minutes. and this guy's 15 years in. He needs the rest, and he needs help. That's what's key for this Cavaliers team. If they have any chance of winning two more in the series, is they have to have another night like last night where Kyle Korver popped off for 18. Jordan Clarkson scored 12 points. He had 10 total in the first three games.
Wow. How long, and again, this is coming from a guy that doesn't watch the NBA other than highlights on SportsCenter, until it gets to this point of the season or there's a big game for the Pacers or something interesting that catches my attention, but how much longer can a guy like LeBron, who is obviously a great player, how long can he keep that up given his age and how many minutes and played all 82 games? That's really amazing for his physique and for his age to be able to fight through that.
Yeah, it really is. Selfishly, and I'm a big LeBron fan. I'm a fan of his game and his talents and all of that. I would like to see it be several, many more years. Some around the league speculate that maybe one of his goals would ultimately to be playing with or at least in the league as one of his sons who has great potential. He's in middle school right now. So that would put it at probably 5-6 more years, which would be an incredible feat for him. I certainly expect him to go at least another 5 to 20, unless he completely breaks down. But he's been one of those. Get this, Matt. He's never missed a postseason game in his career. So his health, and this is something that he takes incredibly seriously. I mean, he's got several trainers with him on the road, his personal trainer. He's got a guy that used to be a Navy SEAL that helps him with his biomechanics. This is a guy that invests in his body, in his mind, and is paying the dividends from that. And so I think at least another 5 years would be my guess.
One other thing, talking about LeBron and the Cavs, and again, for a guy that doesn't follow it as closely or near as closely as you, this was a little surprising. And I guess maybe the Cavs aren't the same team they have been a number of years ago, but they had did I hear LeBron say this right? Like 33 different starting lineups when he was talking on the post-game interview right after the buzzer went off, and including
a
different lineup last night.
It's been something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, and what was also interesting about that, Matt, too, was in closing time, Cleveland went with guys that had been on their roster the last several years. And why that's interesting is they made all kinds of trades at the trade deadline back in February. One of them helped acquire Indy native George Hill. Now, he missed the game with back spasms. He got several shots in his back before the game, just couldn't give it a go, and wanted 3 days rest before game five. But they closed with the lineups we're used to: LeBron, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Kyle Korver. That made it interesting that maybe they value chemistry and that connectedness that we talked with the Pacers there late in the game when they were getting it done.
Scott Agnes, VigilantSports.com, at Scott Agnes on Twitter. Scott, I'd like to have you back again later in the week. And as long as the Pacers stay alive, let's talk some Pacers basketball here on the Hoosier Report.
Absolutely happy to do it. I know a lot of people are loving what Victor's not only done for the team, but this city. So it's been fun to talk about all year long.
Absolutely. Scott Agnes, again, VigilantSports.com. Keep doing a great job, Scott. We'll talk with you again, perhaps even later this week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Matt.
Great. And again, Pacers bug, I think, catching a lot of people with some good postseason success. And Victor Oladipo coming back home. And the things Victor has said, and we've played some of the audio and talked about it some on the program, not only is he a good player, maybe even better on the court than what I think people expected he might be at this point of his career after being traded from Orlando to Indiana, but he's one of those guys that truly appreciates the fans, and he also says the right things, like his story recently in the Players Tribune talking about how fans in Indiana, whether it's IU or just basketball in general, will embrace you like no other, was the headline of the story. And he has brought a breath of fresh air to a Pacers franchise with Paul George. I don't know how you could get excited with his personality, and there was never really a connection, I didn't think, with the city or the fans, and definitely not the state. But Victor Oladipo, obviously a face of IU basketball and quickly becoming a big face of Pacer basketball as well. So we'll follow them into Game 5 with Cleveland. We have all the Pacers games, as you probably know, as an affiliate of Indiana right here on the Big X. We'll have all the playoff games for this Pacers team. That's going to wrap it up for today. I will be back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. on the Hoosier Report. Tuesdays means the chance to talk with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. I'll catch you then right here on the Big X Sports Radio.